Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, one guy out there who had a very, very Merry Christmas. I'm not talking about Lamar Jackson or Derrick Henry or Mahomes or Travis Kelce, anybody associated with those winning teams. And it's not even a guy with a specific name. It is a generic amalgam of several guys who hold a belief that you cannot hire a defensive head coach.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot hire a DB in this day and age, when you got a young quarterback especially, you must hire a head coach with a background on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
It was a Merry Christmas for that particular guy because of how the Texans look, because of how the Texans looked yesterday,
yeah,
which has been a progression of how they've looked all year. And I don't subscribe to that. I think DeMeco Ryans is a good coach, and I think he's got the potential to be a very good head coach and can win a Super Bowl someday. However, the full delegation of the offensive side of the ball to Bobby Slowik has been a failure this year. Some of the press conferences, he says things, DeMeco does, that seem more defensive coordinator-ish than head coach-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big offseason for him, man. I said back during the, it was during that three-week period where they were just getting destroyed up front, that set week 7, 8, 9, where it was like, okay, man, somebody's getting fired over this if this holds up, whether it's Chris Strauser or Bobby Slowik or somebody. Can DeMeco Ryans be a wartime consigliere, to use a Godfather term? Can he? He's an awesome, awesome coach when things were going well last year and you're in a honeymoon period. And I think there's certain facets he's done a good job with. The defense has been really good this year, and I think that's largely due to DeMeco Ryans' coaching.
Yeah.
But he is going to have some – if this holds up, and there's no reason to believe that it won't, the way the offense – I don't think the offense is going to figure it out in a Week 18 – game against the Titans and in the playoffs, especially if they have to go on the road. He's going to have some big decisions to make, man. Some huge decisions to make. And we will find out if DeMeco Ryans, you've said it many times, you don't really become a head coach till you got to start firing your friends.
Right, yeah. Well, let me hear this audio because I don't know.
There's no audio here.
It's you had the guy that was railing off about it. Oh, okay.
No.
Okay, this is the problem with that philosophy. If you look at the top scoring teams in the NFL right now, and not to mention perhaps the quarterbacks who have performed the best, these are the top three scoring teams in the NFL. The Detroit Lions, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens. The Detroit Lions have a guy who played tight end in the NFL, and it was a tight ends coach, Dan Campbell, but he's not an offensive-minded
head coach.
Not a
QB guru.
He's a culture coach.
Yeah,
for sure. You hired a really good offensive coordinator.
Yes.
Elevate had to fire an offensive coordinator to get to Ben Johnson there, but they've got a really good offense. The Buffalo Bills, who Josh Allen, is he doing okay? I haven't checked in on him.
Yeah, no, he is. Okay, so I checked during the break.
They've got a defensive-minded head coach. The Baltimore Ravens, John Harbaugh, special teams coach and coordinator. There's not really any evidence right now that you can't develop or win or have a good quarterback with a defensive-minded or special teams-minded head coach or a guy that – I played for Tom Coughlin. Coughlin, I think, was people considered an offensive head coach because he was a wide receivers coach with the Giants and everything. But he was never, and I like having played for him, he was never the offensive coordinator. I think he called plays for a very brief time in a bad season once. But like he wasn't an offensive minded head coach. He was a culture guy in a lot of ways, who just turned the screws on everybody. There's just too much evidence of, and then Bill Belichick, it almost feels unfair even bringing Bill Belichick into it, but like there's just plenty of evidence that you don't have to be an offensive-minded head coach to have a good quarterback.
The three coaches you brought up are the perfect ones to make my point, though.
Yeah.
And here's why. And you touched on it a little bit. Dan Campbell, first-time head coach, had to pivot and shift gears. He did it in the middle of a season, giving Ben Johnson play-calling duties. Had to make a tough decision. Made a good decision. John Harbaugh, he'd been a head coach a little while longer when Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator, but as you pointed out several times today, maybe wait a little too long to pull the trigger on firing Greg Roman. Made a good hire. Found Todd Monken, and Todd Monken has been fantastic, like Ben Johnson has been. Sean McDermott made one of the toughest decisions you have to make, which is You had a mercurial wide receiver there who's leading the league in receiving. You had Josh Allen as your quarterback there. But the team is 6-6 or whatever they were, 5-5, and he fires the offensive coordinator for an offense that statistically was doing pretty well, but situationally was not very good, and there was obviously maybe something going on behind the scenes. Promotes Joe Brady, and now this is what they are. You know, you're talking about quarterback. You're talking about the top three MVP candidates are the quarterbacks for those teams, and they've changed coordinators in the last few years. That's the decision that's facing D'Amico Ryan. C.J. Stroud has the same sort of potential as these guys do. He was a second overall pick in the draft. Is D'Amico Ryan's as good an eye for talent and as good a recognizer that I got to do something about this as those three guys?
And then I wasn't going to bring this team into it because we're coming off the heels of having the offensive rookie of the year. But the fourth leading scorer in the NFL right now, the Dan Quinn-led Washington Commanders. So it's 1 year and we'll see, but it's very promising right now.
Sure.
So you want to see a track record of this. But Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have been operating with non-offensive-minded head coaches. The problem is that I think people fall in love with the idea of like, oh, yeah, you're going to have Andy Reid, and then you'll have an offense that's awesome forever, blah, 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 blah. Ultimately, at the end of the day, it's how good of a head coach are they. And the job of being a coordinator and the job of being a head coach are so dissimilar. Like, there's so much that goes into it above and beyond whether or not you're an offensive mind or a defensive mind that it's a nice dream. It's kind of like the dream of communism, though. It's like, hey, you know, that's why it's hard with the young sometimes to explain to them why communism can be so devastating, or like, because the dream of communism is a beautiful one. It's like it's like heaven on earth.
We're all equals.
Right. It just it falls apart when you try to execute it in reality because it's not the way humans operate.
Yeah.
But the dream is a nice sell.
It is.
So the dream of like, oh, we're just going to hire an offensive coordinator and then we'll have the best offense in the league for the next 15 years. It's a beautiful dream.
It is.
But in the reality of it, it's a lot harder than that. Yeah. And that a lot of the guys who are great offensive or defensive coordinators, some of the things that make them really good coordinators are the things that prevent them from being genuinely 100%. Good head coaches.
100%.
So it makes sense logically, but it's just way harder to and it's not the easy button that I think people want it to be.
No, but if you're going to hire a defensive head coach, he better have a good eye for talent in the coaching ranks,
and he better make the right decisions with his coordinators. So
and if he's made a bad decision, flush it and go make a good one.
Yeah,
you know.
So I mean, that's the test for D'Amico this year is. And I would say this, because you don't know what goes on behind closed doors. You don't know what challenges maybe Bobby Slowik is having, maybe from personnel, maybe from CJ, like in terms of just what he can and can't do. I don't know. We don't know for sure. This is currently not working, and it's a flaming disaster. It's not just not working. It's a flaming disaster. They've been an atrocious offense for the second half of the season that – you've got to make a change of some sort systemically or with a coordinator. If there's any amount of personal loyalty to Bobby Slowik, if that's the thing that would prevent D'Amico from making a change, D'Amico has to consider, am I even really helping out Bobby Slowik here if we try to drag this out one more year? If we wait on Bobby?
And
right.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of guys who have been fired. Mike McCarthy was... Well, Mike McCarthy got hired... He got hired from the Green Bay job after a year where he was like the worst offensive coordinator in the league. But that was a one-year, one-off occurrence.
Yeah.
Sean Payton lost his play calling duties early in his career. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't like it had gotten to the point where he was blamed for the entirety of all the issues. So there's... It might be a situation where if you want to do right by your friend, man, let him hit the reset button a little bit here because he's... It might just be that he's not ready for it yet.
Yep. Larry didn't call the post-game show yesterday, I'm assuming, because he needed a 12-hour cooling-off period. What's going on, Larry? Larry and Stafford, what's up?
Merry Christmas. Belated Merry Christmas to you and Seth, man. I didn't get a chance to hit y'all beforehand, and
I hope y'all
had a great day. I want to get the positives out the way, because you're right, I needed probably more than 12 hours. But the positive is that I came down to the lower level and watched Beyonce, and damn, she is fine, man. Lord. But that was a great performance by her, man, and I'm glad that it happened yesterday for her and for the city. Now, getting all that out the way, D'Amico is at a crossroads. Last season, we watched him do this same kind of disaster against the Cleveland Browns. And then they came back and they told Cleveland ass up in the playoffs. DeMeco is going to have to make a serious decision about Bobby Slowick, man, because this Seth just said it. This hasn't been just a one-off or a four-game-off situation with this offense. This has been the entire season. And there's no reason to continue to believe that Bobby Slowick is going to be somebody that's going to get this thing righted, man, because it's all coming apart now with the way CJ is playing, because CJ is playing some of the worst football that I've seen. I never thought he was going to play like that, man. He's doing things that we thought that he would never do, taking sacks, running around, not throwing the ball away. He's doing things that we saw other quarterbacks do that we just lit up, like Will Levis' sorry ass. This is not something that is going to be sustainable. But I will continue to say this. If you are out here saying that you want DeMeco Ryans fired after he's taken us to the playoffs 2 years in a row, after that disaster that we experienced from 2020 to 2023, y'all ass is crazy. DeMeco is going to have to make some command decisions about his coaching staff and get some dudes over there that's going to fix his quarterback. But as far as him not being our head coach, y'all can miss me with that silly ass stuff. Fellas, yesterday was embarrassing. It was something that the brand took a hit. I can tell you about what happened with that American flag that was supposed to be on the field that never happened, because they really pissed me off about having me come over there doing that. But other than that, we're going to be okay, because DeMeco Ryans is going to do what he has to do to make this franchise the winner that we trying to be in our house.
Wait. What happened with the flag?
Man, we practiced from 1:15 to 3 o'clock, and we never made it onto the field because we had that 100-yard flag that we had to tote all the way from the bubble all the way over to the loading dock. And we get over there, and they told us we missed the entire performance of getting out on the field, man. And that flag was in the hallway, and they told us we had to unclip the flag and take it apart. I walked my ass right away from there and went to my seat to watch the game. They out they mind, man. The Houston Texans owe us a huge apology, man, because that walk from the bubble to the loading dock, man, with that flag, man. We had old ladies over there, man, trying to carry this flag, man. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen, and I never thought that would happen, because I was going to be right behind the Plantronics on the 50 holding the flag, man. And they messed me out of my moment, man. But you know what? That's why I say yesterday was just really a bad day for your boy, except for Beyonce.
I got to guess. That's the first I've heard of it. And it's not like some... everybody put down your torches. I'm guessing that this wasn't like some anti-American thing or anything, because they do this all the time where they have the full flag out on the field.
Maybe a logistical
I'm guessing issue. Logistically because of the Beyonce concert. Maybe it was...
There's a lot to navigate
or
yesterday.
Something with the Netflix production. Maybe there was a hitch in the schedule. Dude, or something.
If I'm Larry and that's happening, I go get on my phone and I find a way to get on Ravens -5.5. I'm like, man, this just isn't going to be our day. We didn't get the flag on.
It was like
field.
One of those movies where people are about to put on a big production and they think some talent scout's going to be in the audience, and it turns out that it's just they got the name wrong.
Oh,
it was God. You know, like, we're ready for our big performance. Yeah. No, actually, you're not.
appreciate the phone call, Larry. All right, final segment coming up. We'll talk to the guys. Area 45 is in for In the Loop today. Patrick Creighton, Sean Bajani, we will pass the baton to them. Bowl game season is here. And up next, this is the first time we've seen Coach Prime in a bowl game. He's got one important instruction for all of his guys. You kids out there may want to heed this one, all right? We'll let you hear what it is coming up next.